Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Resurrection Sunday sermon and service. And I just want to wish each and every one of you a very, very happy Easter. And we have wonderful news to share with you on this Resurrection Day. Ashley and Trevor Vandover had a baby boy. He was 8 pounds, 21.5 inches, and they have named their baby boy Noah Thomas. And so, thinking of new life as we reflect on the resurrection, I'm happy to make that announcement. In a little while, we'll pray for Ashley and Trevor. They had a bit of a time at the hospital, but all is well, and as far as I know, the baby is doing good. Well, again, I'm sad to say we have to meet in this particular mode and forum, but it is obviously better than nothing, and it is better than infecting each other, especially our seniors. I miss all of you, and again, this is a little difficult for me not seeing your faces, and I ask God to give me the passion and the absence of all of his saints. So let me open in prayer, and then I'll have just a few announcements. Most of the announcements are going to be in the form of a prayer request. And then we'll have our Easter Sunday joke. I found an old story that is, I think, humorous. And I know I'm going to get a lot of laughs. Anyway, let us pray to our Heavenly Father, giving him thanks for the Lord Jesus, thanking him for the resurrection, thanking him for the power of the resurrection and the awesome power that it continues to have today in saving souls and changing our lives. Father God, we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and thank you for the glorious resurrection of our Savior. The grave could not hold him. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray that the resurrection power will continue to change hearts and lives throughout the world and throughout time until your Son comes again. Father God, we just lift up each and every saint of the Dover First Baptist Church. We ask, Lord, that you'd bring just a peace that passes all understanding and a comfort to their hearts. May they reflect on the teachings of the Scripture and the prophetic time that it is, and may they understand that Jesus, your Son, will come to get his bride before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Father, bless the service, bless our good people, may they open their hearts and be receptive, Lord, to hear the word of God apply it to their heart. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. Now help us to, Father, be in the attitude of worship and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to say that the choir, led by Sally Metcalf, and our pianist, Donna Speller, and her assistant, I guess we'll call Connie Cornell, her assistant, have put together some music, and we're very happy for that. Now, my suggestion is that you listen to the choir song prior to the message. You can easily pause this after the announcements and just listen to the choir singing. And then when it is all over, there are a few piano selections, and you can pick all of them or pick the one that you like. And I think it would be a wonderful thing to do that after it's over and then reflect on what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And I know in some homes there are two or three or four or five gathered. And I want you to remember that the Lord Jesus told us where two or three are gathered, that he is in the midst of them. And so in that sense, we have a microcosm of the church. I want to just remind the children that pastor's praying for them. I know this has been really difficult on our young people, not being involved in sports and not being able to go to various activities. And I'm praying for you. I know this is hard on you. And I'm sending often some activity sheets, and maybe they'll help you put things in perspective as you do them. And I pray for your parents. I know that some of them have been opt to stay home from work, or they've been selected to stay home, or maybe it's been mandatory for them. And we want to pray for them. And so I want to go down a litany of other prayer requests, and I want to ask you to remember to pray for each and every one. If you have a copy of the prayer list, you'll find that these are also on the prayer list, except for the good news and praise about Ashley and Trevor. And they, again, had a baby boy, Noah Thomas. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to declare our church is growing, even in the midst of no gatherings, it's growing. And we just added another member, Noah Thomas. And so we want to pray for Noah Thomas, that God will guide him through the leadership of his father and mother. And we want to pray that at a very early age, this young boy comes to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. So we want to pray for wisdom for Ashley and Trevor. Also, Jackie Lauder wants us to give thanks and praise to God for her daughter, Sarah. Sarah is recovering and doing well. But she also wants us to add her youngest daughter, Emily, to our prayer request. She will be having her baby April the 20th. And she's had some complications. And it appears that the child will come forth through C-section. So let's remember to pray for Emily, that is Jackie Lauder's daughter, expecting on April the 20th. And we hope things go very well. We want everybody to be in prayer every day concerning the people with the coronavirus. The sad news is that when people get admitted into the hospital, so many of them are later put on a ventilator. And very few survive after that. So we need to pray for them. Pray that God will rid us of this evil plague. And the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 the way that happens. And it's got to begin with you and me. We've got to humble ourselves and pray. And the Bible says, and turn from our wicked ways. And the Bible goes on to say there in 2 Chronicles, then will I hear from heaven and heal your land. And so let's pray for a healing. Spiritual healing probably is the greatest need that we have. And I think that will accent a physical healing. Pray that the CDC can develop a vaccine very soon. Pray also for the healthcare workers who put their lives on the front line every day in this country, in hospitals all across America. We need to lift them up and pray a special hedge about each and every one of them. We need to be thanking God for the doctors and the nurses and the technicians who are on the front lines every day. And let us not forget those who are in mourning. The death toll has been great, and we need to be sensitive to the loss that people are experiencing. Pray for them, and pray if they're not saved that through this, they'll come to know Jesus Christ, and they'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Pray again concerning our young people, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago. They're home from school. I'm sure they can get bored easy. Pray that they stay focused, that they find activities that are wholesome that they can do at home. Pray for their parents. Pray for especially our fathers. As I'm going to mention in the message, God has called holy men to lead their families, especially in times like this. Continue to pray for those who have ailing health. I praise God that Frank Harrington is doing better. He is really doing well in his PT, taking some very brave steps, but it hasn't been easy. and he still has a long road to go. So you continue to pray for him and lift him up. Pray for his caregivers, which is primarily his wife Irene. Pray that God will grant her just that extra measure of grace and strength. And we don't want to see her get run down. So I'm praying each and every day that God just renew her strength, and that God will provide for her some time for herself. Continue to pray for Janie's brother, Jim. I haven't heard anything lately, but we continue to pray that God will deliver him from cancer, and for her sister, April, for her recovery after surgery. Donna Speller, our pianist, asked prayers for her cousin Mike, and he is on the prayer list, and he has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So we want to lift him and his family. My heart aches for Jean Dykeman, who fell a little while ago, and she's down in Florida. I miss her, and I know she misses us, and I pray for her and pray that God will put a hedge about her and restore her health. And I pray that might be God's will, and I pray you will pray with me as well. I ask you to pray for Holly's nephew. I made the mistake of thinking it was her grandson, and I apologize for that. I made a mistake there. His name is Colton, and I also got his name wrong. It's not Colby, it's Colton, C-O-L-T-O-N. He has advanced leukemia, and last I heard, he is really in a bad way. They've been doing blood transfusions. But God is the great physician. He is able to do that which no man can do. So let's unite our hearts together and pray for Colton. Pray for Holly. Pray for Ralph. Pray for Colton's mom and dad and all of those that are ministering to him. Then don't forget those that are shut in. We have some seniors like Frank and Charlie Pulver, Jim Muncy Sr., and so many of our seniors that come to our church are shut in for health reasons and primarily because of the COVID-19 virus, which again is a health reason. So we want to lift them up, continue to ask that God put a hedge about them. Keith Light is continuing to ask for prayers for his son Travis. It's still scheduled for him to have shoulder surgery on April 21st. So don't forget to pray for the doctors and the technicians and all that will assist in his surgery. Well, I think that is it by way of announcements, except that there are no bulletins right now. The fact of the matter, I am communicating with daily memos. I hope that you're getting them and you're reading them. Might be good to know that you are by responding. You can just let Sally know. That would be great. We want to keep you fresh in the Word, and I want to keep you encouraged in this time where things are just not normal. Well, it's time for a little humor, and I hope that you're finding ways to get good doses of laughter every day. You need that. It is God's medicine. And we are at home, and there's not a whole lot we can do about that right now until things get better. But God has provided humor. Some of you are just good at making people laugh. Keep doing that. It is medicine. A cheerful heart. It's important. A merry heart is like a medicine. So don't forget to look at the light side of things. Find some good, wholesome TV shows that are really funny. And I know modern TV, contemporary TV, doesn't have a whole lot to offer. There are a few. Last Man Standing, although I don't approve of all of the scenarios in that program, they do take a conservative stand on many things. And it is somewhat funny. Also, the old television shows. But just everyday humor, looking at the light side of things. Well, there was a man, his wife, and his mother-in-law. They went on vacation to the Holy Land. They wanted to see, you know, the city of Jerusalem and the place where, you know, Jesus walked. And while they were there, well, the mother-in-law, she got sick and she passed away. Well, the undertaker, he told the family, you can have her shipped home, but that would cost over $5,000. Or you can just bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. Well, the husband thought about it and told him he would just have to have her shipped home. And the undertaker asked, well, why? Why would you spend over $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it'd be wonderful to have her buried right here in the Holy Land and you would only spend $150? And the guy said, listen, a man died here 2,000 years ago. He was buried here too, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Sir, I just can't take that kind of a chance. Oh, I appreciate your response to that poem. I hope you enjoyed that. Well, it's time to have a prayer before the sermon. And I'm praying for each and every one of you, and I wish again you were all here. And I hope the message will help you to see that God is good. I want you to take heart. This is a Take Heart series, Take Heart, concerning the power of the resurrection. And I'm going to read from Matthew 28, verses 10, 1 to 10, and then a short prayer. This is one of the synoptic gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. They became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord laid, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, and they held him by his feet, and they worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Oh, Father God, thank you for the resurrection of your Son. Prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is God in the flesh. Your precious, only begotten Son, breaking the power of death, and breaking it also for us, that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you'll help me with this message, that folks will see that your power, the power of resurrection, is available for everyone today. And is really at work, even amidst a horrible plague that we're experiencing. May we see your hand of goodness in this message, O God. I ask you to hide me behind the cross of Christ and have your way in all of our hearts. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the cornerstone of our Christian faith. And today we celebrate that glorious morning when Christ rose from the dead. We often forget the awesome power of Christ's resurrection. It is, as I mentioned in my prayer, still effective today. And His awesome power touched so many people's lives down through the century. But I think back to that first resurrection. It resulted in many Old Testament saints being raised up from the dead immediately after Jesus rose from the dead. And they were called by God to testify that Jesus Christ was alive. Just a little passage of scripture that is tucked away in Matthew 27. And just a few verses. And we often forget these verses. And they speak to the awesome power of Christ's resurrection. In chapter 27, when Jesus died, the Bible says He cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. It was an earthquake. And the rocks rent. The Bible says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So they would be Old Testament saints. New Testament had not been established yet. And then verse 53, and they came out of the graves, note, after His resurrections. So, as it were, the graves were open, the sepulchers were all opened. So it was no problem for them when Christ rose. That awesome power of the resurrection touched these anointed saints to be evangelists, to bear the message of Christ's resurrection. And they went into the holy city, that is Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Can't imagine what that was like for the folks that they appeared to. Maybe they even appeared to some of their friends and relatives. What a shock that would be. But this passage reveals that after Jesus died on the cross, that God allowed this earthquake to open their sepulchers. Sepulchre is a little different than what we know as a grave. It is a tomb, usually where there's a stone laid against it. And they would bury their dead in these tombs. And a year later, they would come and collect their bones and put them in ossuary boxes. And these Old Testament saints were awakened 3 days later by the power of the Lord's awesome resurrection. I like to say that these are genuinely the first dead men walking. I don't know that there's been any others other than on TV. Folks, there is just unbelievable power in the resurrection of our Savior. And I'd like us to sort of witness the resurrection since this COVID-19 virus began. I think there's been a number of what we might call resurrections. You know, we have heard words that were once inert that are now part of our vocabulary. They kind of been resurrected out of the dump heap of the English language. Words like mitigation, separation, isolation, anecdotal, chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, ventilators, and what about flatten the curve? Who would have known such words would be resurrected from the back files of our English language? However interesting, I'd like for us to consider some very valuable things that God is in the process of resurrecting during this difficult time. And I think we all need to look at this from a different perspective, that God can turn tragedy into triumph. And so I'd like you and I to reflect on these, since today is Resurrection Sunday. I thought I would do a different kind of message, that we would see God resurrecting things for good. because God is in the business of bringing back to life what is dead. That is what the resurrection is all about. Life from death. The Bible tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And we hear awful, awful news of death. But what is worse is spiritual death. To forever be apart, separated eternally from Almighty God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It has taken, unfortunately, a deadly virus for God to get our attention as a global community. God's nature is to turn tragedy into triumph. We read our Bibles and we see that in many of the biblical stories. My favorite is that of Joseph being sold into slavery and how God turned that tragedy of being cast from his family into a position whereby he could save the Moab tribe of the Hebrew people. Well, I want us to look at six features that God is resurrecting. And I think that we will realize that even in this environment, God is doing good. Now, there are six, so this sermon might take a little bit longer than normal, but you have the option and the opportunity to pause it and come back to it. But I hope that you will listen to all of it. And I encourage you afterward to read the poem that April sent us, and I sent it on to you. God is in the business, I said, of bringing back to life what was dead. If we're all honest and transparent before God, we know that the family, an institution of our society, is on the brink of decline. And I believe that through this virus, there's been a resurrection of the value of the family. We are staying at home, and in many cases, there is a bond now growing within the family. Mothers are taking care of their children and being their teachers, and fathers are at home and helping out with the daily chores of the family and being there with their children and maybe doing some kind of activities with them and hopefully taking time to get the family into daily biblical devotions and prayer. God is resurrecting the family to be what he desired it to be. The family was his first created institution. And if we're honest, we have corrupted it by paying far too much attention to less valuable things. Things like our jobs. Not that they're unimportant. But if we're honest again, before God, we recognize that sometimes we're working way too many hours for things we don't need. Not too many of us are at home. There are people that are still working, but not too many of us are at work right now. It seems God has us paying attention to the safety and the well-being of our spouses, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our loved ones. God wants to resurrect from the ash heap of our old ways, a love for what really matters. What is really important? It's our family. The first institution that God created. And it is indeed one of the choices, blessings, which God has bestowed upon us. We have swapped it for riches and pleasures and social events and activities that stole our heart from our loved ones. All throughout the Bible, it teaches the importance of the home. We go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and we find Jehovah God saying, "Honor your father and mother, that you may live a long time in the land of the Lord your God is giving to you." We find in the Bible that it teaches to respect mother and father. In the book of Deuteronomy, it teaches for parents to huddle their kids around the Word of God, write it on the doorposts, write it on the walls of the house, the words of God. Keep it ever in front of them. Bond with your children in the love of the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. These are all scriptures that teach us the truth that God designed the family to glorify him. He certainly has got our attention, for so many of us are out of work and our focus now is on our family. And that's because God is in the business of bringing back to life what was dead. God is in the business of resurrecting the Bible, God's holy word. I see that God is resurrecting the power of his word and the truth of the gospel. And yes, I believe it begins at home. Fathers, we need to get the family into the word and show them God's revealed program and his future for mankind, that young people will not have a fear of what is happening, but they will have a hope for God's plan for his children. Now, concerns over the COVID-19 has upended almost everyone's lives in some way. And we all are feeling the effects. I am, as well as anybody else. And it's not a desirable thing, but we have to see God's hand in it. You know, in an interview with the Christian Pulse recently, it was reported that people are turning to the comfort and the clarity of the Bible. They're turning to God's Word in these times of trouble and uncertainty. We ought to add that to our prayer, that the folks who are not saved getting into the Bible, the Spirit would lead them to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you heard, but the sale of Bibles, both published and digital, have skyrocketed, excuse me, since this pandemic. Occasionally I have to stop and have a little drink of water. And I'm just amazed that since March, the sales are up 72%. It appears now that people, having been stopped, placed in their homes, have time and a desire and a hunger to get into the Word of God, to see what God says about what is happening. And yes, there's some confusion out there, and I hope maybe to clear some of that up next week. Some people think that this is a sign of the rapture, and that the rapture is going to happen. Well, the rapture is going to happen, but we don't have a timetable. And I, Lord willing, will take a passage or two next week and share where we are in the prophetic calendar. But I have never seen such a proliferation of God's Word. It's even on the television. The Bible is God's Word to us. It's a reminder that He doesn't leave us to walk through the difficult times alone. People draw hope from Scripture. I know I do. I shared that with you yesterday in my memo. So people are going back to the Scriptures because in it they see God, who is with us even during our suffering. We who are children of the Lord and believers know that He promised in a number of passages. I recall Hebrews 13:5, He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never has the message of the gospel been so available and accepted. Churches and evangelists are using whatever means they have to get the gospel out. I'm sure most of you have seen the Reverend Franklin Graham give a clear, concise presentation of the gospel. It's been seen on TV as an ad. And praise God for Samaritan Purse investing the money into the presentation of the gospel, at a time where people are open and receptive to that message. Palm Sunday was also a wonderful time for the message of the gospel. the palms out in front of the church was a message to people that even though we're not here physically, we are here. We had a young man, his name was Frank. He came by the church, I think it was probably after 2 o'clock, and he was distraught. He knew that he needed God. And I had a wonderful opportunity to share with him because he was hungry. He tried to remember John 3:16 that he had learned when he was a young boy. And he did his best to recite that passage, and he did pretty well. And I used that to share with him that he needed to come to Christ. Pray for him. He, like so many others, are full of fear and anxiety. But God offers hope, and God offers deliverance. I want you to pray that he'll come back and participate in our worship. Before he left, he said, "Pastor, it's time for me to come back to God." Folks, that shows that God is in the business of bringing back to life what was dead. We move on to the next feature or characteristic of what God is doing in this very peculiar time. God is resurrecting prayer. God has, during this time of darkness, revived our prayer lives. I know mine has been revived during this time. I'm praying for so many more people and praying more diligently about it. You know, we took prayer and Bible out of the public forum, and God now has resurrected it because we fear this dreadful plague. We fear for our lives. People are praying and seeking prayer and praying together in their homes and in factories and in offices. It has touched my heart to see even teams of doctors and nurses turning to God in prayer in hospitals. I have a story as an illustration. And this is just one story among many, not just here, but all around the world. I quote, "Healthcare workers in the United States have been standing on hospital rooftops to pray for their patients during the ongoing struggle with COVID-19. Many medics are turning to prayer amidst growing fears of the impact coronavirus could have on them and on their communities. Healthcare workers were seen in a video standing on the roof of a hospital in Cartersville, Georgia, praying together along with members of the public outside. Prayer is back. It only took a plague for God to get our attention that he is omniscient, that he deserves our worship. He deserves us to communicate to him. Folks, God is in the business of bringing back to life what was dead. That's what the resurrection is really all about. God has resurrected worship. There has been the resurrection of worship unto our God. This past week, Sally sent me a photo that touched my heart. The caption read, I quote, "The church building might be empty on Easter, but so is his grave. Praise God." Yes, our buildings might not have people in them, but there are people who belong to God who are members of those buildings. Yes, all over our nation, the worship centers are for now closed. And never before have I, as a pastor, experienced people so desiring to come to church to worship in any form. I think we've come to realize this is a spiritual need. And we realize what a wonderful feeding we get from God when we're worshiping. And when we're worshiping together. God has resurrected in our souls the intrinsic need for him, our Creator. It is intrinsic in every human being. Bible says it is the fullest, said in his heart there is no God, because intrinsically he knows he's empty apart from him. God has gotten our attention. You know, he isn't in competition now, is he? He's not in competition with basketball, baseball, football, soccer, hockey, or for that matter, any other sport. The other day I was talking to Jim, Brother Jim Muncie, and he said, Pastor, even the golf courses are now closed. And so now we have time for God like we didn't before, because we were too busy checking out so many other things that were less important. We were checking out what the Yankees were doing, reading in the newspaper how bad the Red Sox are playing. Well, in fact, we can't get any news on sports, can we? Because it's all shut down. God doesn't like when we put anything before him. And I'm not saying that sports is bad. Please don't think that. I think they're a good avenue to have time with family or downtime. But many times people put these things before the Lord. They become their God. Many were too busy worshiping the false gods of this world. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the celebrities, the athletes, the superstars, the movie stars, and others. Do you know that the Bible declares in Exodus chapter 34:14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. God is a jealous God in a good sense, because he desires fellowship. He desires a relationship with his creation. And that's what Christianity is about. It is about having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know the power of the resurrection? You can't if you don't know Jesus. Praise God for his resurrection power. Because he is in the business of bringing back to life what is dead. Do you know that even in this, God has resurrected good hygiene and harmony in humanity? Now, this may be a bit humorous, but true. God has resurrected the practice of good hygiene. Have you ever been so conscious about washing your hands and keeping things clean and as sterile as possible? Well, now we practice separation and greetings that help not to infect others. I think these are good resurgence of hygiene and health practices. And it is a way to be sensitive to our brethren, to others. You know, I have for a while believed too many folks come to church sick and did not mean to infect others, but it happens. Maybe this will be a way that God allows the church and all of its members to be more sensitive to the needs of others. God wants to resurrect the church family to love one another and put others before ourselves. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 24 said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. The second part of this point is, I don't know the last time we have seen partisan politics set aside, at least for the most part. It took a deadly virus to stop us from destroying each other to where we must work together with one another. Yesterday, I actually heard the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, give kudos to President Trump. And all it took was a virus that made us all stay at home. And now we have to work together. We have to work in peace and harmony. The last point is there's been a resurrection of the resurrection. I believe the evidence is all around us that Almighty God is using the resurrection of godly values to give us life after this deadly virus. Let it be known Christ arose. Nothing will ever change that, because we are still experiencing the power of God's resurrection. Every time we see something turning from evil to good, it is the power of the resurrection. The only way, the Bible says, to overcome evil is with good, Paul mentions. He is working our Savior, our Lord Jesus. He is working with humanity to bring us back to the Father. He is working through this horrible plague. You know that He died on the cross. He died to reconcile us to the Father. He's still doing that mission. Please believe that there is more evidence for this wonderful event we celebrate today, the resurrection, than you could possibly understand or know. I'll just give you a brief tidbit that I picked up. And I got this from Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And he offers many evidence for the resurrection. And he says that there is more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than there is that Alexander the Great was an emperor, or even that George Washington was our first president. Well, just as there is evidence for Christ's resurrection, and Christians can see the power of the resurrection in the souls that are saved and the lives that are changed, and so there is biblical evidence that another resurrection shall take place. What I'm speaking about is the rapture of the church. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others with which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We ought to be comforting one another with these words, because these words are very important in light of the situation we find ourselves. The Bible goes on to say in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, that's not the rapture. That's the wrath of God to come. And there are many signs for that, and we'll discuss them next week. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so after this, there will be a time of peace and safety. This is not the end. Christians are confused today, thinking that this global plague is a precursor to the resurrection of God's saints. It is not. And those of us who know our Bibles and our dispensationalists understand the church age ends in the rapture, and the rapture is imminent. Nothing has to happen before it occurs. And no one knows when it will occur. Yes, there are signs for the end times, but there are no signs or events that have to happen before the rapture. And as I said, next week we will look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 and where we are on the prophetic calendar. But the glorious news is we are resurrected with our Savior the Lord, who is the bride of the church. And He is alive. And you can know His presence today. And if you're not saved, why don't you right now admit to God you're a sinner? And that all of the fear and the anxiety has burdened your heart. It has worried your soul. And that you need Him. Call upon Him to save you from your sin. To take away your fear and your anxiety. Tell Him that you love Him and you're thankful for Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. But apart from that resurrection, you would not be saved. You want to do that today and don't delay. Because those that do not accept Christ will be left behind for the next dispensation, which is called the tribulation. And yes, there are many signs that God will give for that latter part of the tribulation. But for now, the power of His resurrection gives us new life, and we ought to take advantage of that. It gives us new life in the here and now. And of course, a wonderful, unspeakable life in the hereafter. Now in conclusion, Jesus said that He came to give us life. But not just to give us life, but to give us abundant life. You read that. It's in John 10:10. And those passages there will encourage you. When we experience the power of His resurrection, we will truly live before we die. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. And we have the power to live even through a plague because He is with us. And because of the resurrection, you can have a new identity, a new life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the power of the resurrection. And there is no limit to that power. Let's pray. Father, I hope this message You laid on my heart will be one that You can use for the members of our church. And if it touches them, may they pass it on, because there are so many folks confused. They're disheartened. They're worried. God bless them and bring them into the fold. Thank You for our people. May You receive honor and glory in all of this, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.